Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the Rams 31, shotgun snap to Brady, dropping back, lobs a throw for Gronkowski, left side, makes the catch over two defenders, tumbling to the two, first and goal to go.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, we just couldn't make the big play, and we couldn't stay on the field on third down, and we just knew we had a whole half to go, and the defense set the tone. They held them. We got some good field position for them. You know, they held them, and finally the kind of broke through a little bit in the fourth quarter, which was good. We needed that.
Patriots play-by-play, their flagship network. Also, Tom Brady after the win. As the Patriots indeed end up on top yet again, even with the Patriots safety Patrick Chung ending up in a sling early on in that ball game, they still were able to knock off the Rams, hold them to just 3 points on the night, and that's saying something. Hey, a couple of things. First and foremost, got some Dom Capers news for you. Also, some Bucks news coming up here shortly. I want to remind you that we went to Super Bowl down to Atlanta. Compliments to some great people. Cornet and his whole staff down at Coach's Pub and Grill, home of the Big Boy Burger on South 13th Street in Milwaukee. Great place. And go in and say hi. Go in and tell them hi from us, because they have a terrific fish fry, by the way. But that Big Boy Burger is outstanding. Speaking of outstanding, San Giorgio, the only authentic Napoletana pizzeria in the state, right here in our own backyard, right down Old World 3rd Street in Kilbourne, right there next to the Calderon Club. Say hi to Gino. You can pick up the Bill Michaels pizza there. They pair it up with the Cider Boys from Point Brewing. And they got a good thing going on. Everybody that goes in and orders it texts me or tweets me or emails me and says it's fantastic. I said, I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so. It's terrific. You got to stop into San Giorgio maybe during a game, before a game, after a game, before an event downtown, or just make it a point on a date night to go to San Giorgio Pizzeria, Napoletana VPN Pizzeria down there in Old World 3rd Street, and pair it up with Cider Boys from Point Brewing. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. Mike, news today, Dom Capers is either going to go be the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, or he's going to head down to Miami and be the defensive coordinator or an assistant or like a consultant down there for them. So Dom Capers finding a job. What's that?
He's going to work for Brian Flores in Miami, possibly?
He could. How about that? Yeah, no doubt. I just thought I'd throw it out there. How you doing, man?
Well, you know, maybe that's the trend, because we thought that Super Bowl 53 was going to be all about the experienced Bill Belichick at 67 against the new hot phenom that was getting guys hired, 33-year-old Sean McVay, here out of Georgia. And instead, the game ended up being Wade Phillips at 71 against Bill Belichick. I mean, it was a defensive battle. And I know, probably sitting at home, maybe it was kind of a boring game, but there was a lot of that game that I kind of enjoyed. I mean, there was just phenomenal plays on defense and special teams that I'll talk about a little bit later. The disappointment was I thought that, you know, I was kind of pulling for the Rams. I just thought that might be a more interesting story. But either way, totally respect the Belichick-Brady dynasty and what they accomplished last night and wearing out the Rams. I thought the Rams still had enough firepower where at some point they could run the football. And then Goff could take his shots downfield. But, man, the coverage was just unbelievable by the Patriots secondary. And so we asked Goff, Jared Goff, who I didn't think got rattled. You know, there's a part there where he cut a finger on his left hand about the third quarter and had it looked at a little bit. And I was watching him with the binoculars during the long TV timeouts. And, you know, he looked like he was exhausted, a little exasperated, but he was still, you know, kind of keyed up. Trying to solve this thing. You could feel it slipping away. I didn't think he looked rattled. I just thought he looked, you know, battle-torn,
right,
battle-tested. And so, you know, Goff was asked after the game, do you think that you ended up being a victim of the experience of Belichick and Brady?
No, I don't think so. I think we obviously expected to score a lot more points than that, and it sucks the way it turned out. but you know, I'm going to use it as a learning experience and be better because of it.
Mike, you know, I know that you know, people aren't happy that the Patriots won again. It is what it is, but you know, the Rams didn't do a whole lot, and that Patriots defense, they came out ready to go. They did their job. Bill Belichick was masterful again.
Yeah, and in terms of some of the weapons, you know, the Todd Gurley story has been really weird, particularly for the L.A. media, because, I mean, Todd Gurley has just been one of the most explosive players in the NFL, and they ended up making him the highest-paid running back in the league, $60 million. And, you know, he was devastating on a couple of big plays against Green Bay back in October when we're at the Coliseum. Then there starts to be some problems. They shut him down the last two games, but they claim that he doesn't have an injury. So what's going on there? You saw him in the Saints game on the sidelines on an exercise bike and only having five carries. And then they flipped this thing around where C.J. Anderson had been the hero for them, games against the Cowboys and other games, running the football, pounding the rock. They went back to giving the ball to Gurley. And I just thought that Gurley didn't look like 100%. He didn't look like the same guy I saw last October. Whether if he got outside, if he got outside the nine technique with on a run or trying to go downfield for a pass, he didn't quite have the burst. You know, even with those 16-yard gains last night, a couple called back because of holding penalties. And so Gurley, who's kind of a, you know, he keeps it light. He tries to keep it fun, not too serious. He was asked, did you feel you got enough carries to make an impact in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I was in there, was able to try to get a couple plays, but, you know, you never know how the game is going to go. You know, just didn't get the job done.
The biggest thing was the fact that the Rams just couldn't convert on third down. They were terrible. I mean, not that the Patriots were much better, but the Rams never really got anything offensively going.
I knew that the third down thing was happening because, you know, Johnny Hacker kept on punting. But I was really surprised to look up at the clock with 2 minutes left in the first half, and the time of possession was just ridiculous. It was basically 20 minutes for the Patriots and only 10 for the Rams. Actually, the Rams picked up a little bit of that toward the end of the second half. So, you know, you're talking to Sean McVay, who is a bright guy. I could see it was interesting to watch him in the third quarter and a frustration set in because we haven't seen him lose too many games. And him just trying to pick this lock and couldn't figure out if he was frustrated by what the Patriots were giving him or that he was getting missed assignments from his own players in the big game. And there's this thing about what the whole, again, the Gurley issue. And it's just, why aren't you using this guy? Why aren't you reporting that he's injured, being more forthcoming? And Sean McVay said at the end of the day, we weren't making the right plays because I wasn't making it easier for Jared Goff to get into a rhythm.
I never enabled us to get into a rhythm offensively. You know, we didn't have any really third down conversions really the whole first half. And, you know, they did a good job. And then it seemed like every time that we got a little bit of a positive play, then we'd end up having a penalty or move ourselves back. So I think a lot of it was a result of some of the things they did, but then also the play selection. You know, I was not pleased at all with my feel for the flow of the game and kind of making some adjustments as the game unfolded and to giving ourselves a chance to have some success and put some points on the board. And, you know, credit to them, and they did a good job, and I certainly didn't do good enough for us. But Todd is healthy, and, you know, we just didn't really get a chance to get anybody going today offensively, and you know, that starts with me.
Mike Clemens live in Atlanta. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll have more with Mike down there following up from Super Bowl 53. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We'll be back. More with Mike Clemens coming up right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Anderson behind Goff. First and 10 from the 29. They want to throw. Goff well protected. He climbs. He throws. End zone all alone. Back of the end zone. Incomplete to Brandon Cooks. He was underneath the goalpost, and when Goff let it go, there wasn't a Patriot within 10 yards. Jason McCourty closed quickly. That should have been six.
You know, the thing that's so tough about all of this is that, you know, the finality to it. You know, usually when you get a chance, if you go through some adversity, you can bounce back right away. This one's going to stick with you and just stings in your gut. And like I said, I'm still kind of numb right now, but have so much love for these players and these coaches, and that's where, you know, it really, you know, it eats at you because you feel like you didn't do your part to help them. But one of the things that you can't say enough about is just the resolve of this football team. I love the way they continue to compete. I love these players and coaches, and, you know, that's the motivation to go back to work and try to do right for them.
Welcome back Bill Michaels' show continues. We ended up going to Atlanta, Georgia. A great week last week we had on Radio Row. We can't do it without a lot of great people and our good friends at Nice Ash. Check out Nice Ash because they're a great place. If you were down there yesterday, I'm sure you know what exactly I'm talking about, but they provide a great selection of spirits and beers and cigars and hookahs and a lot of fun. A great atmosphere, a combination that can't be beat. They've got a tremendous commitment, I should say, and to establish relationships with their customers. They've got entertainment, live bands, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all that kind of good stuff. What are you waiting for? Get down there. As they say, get your ash in there. That's Nice Ash, downtown Waukesha, right there on Main Street. And there was a lot of people yesterday at Brewtown Eatery and Bar. That's on West Howard Avenue at the end of the strip mall at 5121, where they have terrific food, pizzas, fish fry. Great gathering spot. A lot of people went in and texted me, said they had a fun time. They went in and said hi to Jill. I told you. I said, I'll send you over there. Go in and say hi to them. Brewtown Eatery and Bar, and don't stop going there because they're terrific people. And then there's my buddy, Dr. Paul, as I call him. Doc Paul from Levine Dental, the premier resource for comprehensive range of family and cosmetic dental services. That's where I go. Sherry goes. The kids go. Levine Dental, L-E-V-I-N-E. Dr. Paul Levine, Levine Dental, L-E-V-I-N-E, dental.com. Tell them we sent you when you stop by, and just go, and then you're good to go. You know what I'm talking about because it's a dentist, right? There you go. Mike Clements, NFL Sirius Radio, still down there in Atlanta. So you hear right there a pass that should have been. McCourty closed late, and it wasn't to be. But also they had a couple of opportunities from additional interceptions on Jared Goff, and they didn't make them. But McCourty says that wins over the Rams. I'm telling you what, that's big because those brothers, the McCourty brothers, they get a chance to finally touch that Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, I'm trying to figure out Belichick every year. We come back here, and here he is in the Super Bowl again, and this time winning it again. And is it Belichick and his pregame planning? You know, he said Saturday night, it takes me 3 days to get all through my Super Bowl reminders for my team. And he was like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, for example, this. The Super Bowl is one of the most difficult marathons. It'll be one of the most exhausting games you play in because it stops and starts so much. He tells his players, remember, there's 11 commercial breaks in the first half, 11 commercial breaks in the second half, and then a 29-minute break in the middle. He says, it's like a frustrating drive home where you've got all the red lights. You stop, you start, you stop, you start, you know, like you're going slow across town, and you never really seem to get it going. And that's tough on athletes, and that's probably what I saw with Jared Goff last night by the end of the third quarter. It's like, man, when is this game ever going to end? We're still in regulation. It just wears on players like that. And then it's the personnel decisions. You know, Bill Belichick was talking about trading Rob Gronkowski year after year, the injuries. After last year's Super Bowl, Gronk said to the media, I don't know, maybe it's time for me to hang it up. And then Gronkowski said, I don't want to be traded. If I'm traded, then I'll retire because, you know, I only want to play with Tom Brady. So he comes back, and look who ends up being the hero last night. Brady struggling to zero in with some of those passes. The ball's wobbly, but he gets that 29-yarder to Gronk that sets up the 2-yard touchdown pass by Michelle, the plunge, rather. So, you know, you're glad you brought back Gronk for this. But it's other things like Devin McCourty say, hey, you know, my brother's pretty good, and I think he'd fit in. And so Belichick listens to that. He makes brilliant personnel decisions, and he always seems to make it work. And so it's Jason who makes this incredible play. This is one of those plays that I will never forget. It's like NFL films in my head already when Jared Goff is back to pass. You see where they're developing on the sides, and all of a sudden Brandon Cook somehow releases and crosses over the hash marks, and for some reason there's no safety back there to pick it up, and Goff picks it up, and Goff tends to loft the football. He's got a pretty touch to it, but that's just the way he always throws, and he lets one go, and it's right on target, but it takes too long, and somehow McCourty, Jason, just comes out of nowhere across the field and makes the most unbelievable deflection. And then he talked about the first time last night is when he finally got to touch a Lombardi trophy.
I remember being on the field in Arizona and the trophy being pushed through the middle and my mom saying, touch it. I said, no, I can't touch this until I earn it. And I got to touch that trophy.
That's a pretty cool experience. I like how they bring it through. Isn't it funny, Mike, that they shine that thing and polish it, the guys carry it with gold gloves, and then or with kid gloves, and then everybody's kissing it, slobbering on it, touching it, and by the time it finally gets up there to be presented, it's got lip marks and grease marks and sweat marks and all kinds of crap all over that thing.
You hope it just doesn't get treated like a Stanley Cup. I mean, there's a whole chapter of
exactly. That
thing.
Yep.
But, well, you know what is interesting is players say when they finally get their hands on it and they're standing on the field, when you hold that trophy up, you see the reflection of yourself and everybody around you. And that's what makes that silver football trophy so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like Bill Belichick, who actually was pretty emotional. He was there. He came out late last night. I waited for him. He came out. There's family there, the kids sitting there. But it was like sitting in a living room with Belichick last night for 20 minutes. And he was, you know, the most down to earth. I mean, he's, you know, maybe this is the one or two days of the year Belichick actually relaxes and isn't in the next morning at 4:30 watching tape. But he talked about how grateful some of those defensive plays from that just incredible secondary play from the Patriots last night, like Stephon Gilmore. Just when Goff hits a couple, 19 yards, 17 yards, now he's moving the ball down the field, and they, you know, he sees another receiver over there, Woods, I think, puts the ball up, and it's Stephon Gilmore who high points the ball and pulls in another an interception.
Oh, my God, yeah. We had two mistakes in coverage in that series, and that was a tremendous play. It was that was a tremendous effort and a great play on the ball. We had several good pass breakups, and then of course Gilmore's play on the blitz where he went up and high pointed the ball and took it away for the interception was another huge one. But yeah, Jason McCourty, that was a tremendous play. My God, you know, you see, it was a coach, right? He was standing there, fair catching the ball in the end zone, and McCourty came out of nowhere to make the play. It was a tremendous play.
You know, Mike, I thought Stephon Gilmore could have also been the MVP.
That's it. I mean, with about 2 minutes left in the game, I thought, all right, this weird 13-3 game. And to me, the special teams play was immediately standing out to me. John Fossil is the special teams coordinator for the Rams. They nicknamed him Bones. This is that guy who comes up with that pass from Johnny Hacker. He talks to his players. He finds out, well, you played quarterback? You're really actually a quarterback? Yeah, but I thought I could get in the NFL as a punter. 6'5". Well, let's see how good an arm you got. Hey, coach, look at this guy. Our punter's got a great arm. And he has Sam Shields beat you with the Packers with that pass or beat the Saints. So Fossil's coming up with every crazy trick play that he can and trying to sell it to McVay. I mean, that's what you want from special teams. There's stuff I saw by the end of the first quarter in the Super Bowl that I haven't seen in Green Bay special teams since Holmgren was up there. And maybe this, you know, new guy, Menenga, that that LaFleur just hired, you know, a little bit of this background with the Browns. Mike Pettine knows him. He's been at Vanderbilt. I hope that's what he brings to the table for Green Bay when it comes to special teams.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams ran a play early on where I couldn't get the number of the guy. He lined up wide right, wide, wide. I mean, like the sideline. But just before the snap, he motions in, and it almost looked like an Arena Football League play or Canadian football where he was running full speed. They snap, they punt, and then he turns upfield. Now he's at full steam and headed downfield. It's like, you know, I never see plays like that. So I saw innovative plays. I saw coffin kicks like I haven't seen in a long time, like from Ryan Allen or from Hacker last night. And those are the things that I was amazed about. You know, Bill Belichick, you're talking about this guy's legacy now. And, you know, Bill Walsh from the 49ers, West Coast offense, or Tony Dungy with the Tampa 2 defense. And Belichick, maybe his legacy is just going to be that he can go from playing the Eagles and a game that ends up being one of the highest scoring, most yardage games to the next year playing a potent offense like the Rams and surviving a battle, a defensive and special teams battle like that. And the fact is that Belichick is able to just adapt every year, and even though it's the year of the more scoring, more yardage than ever before with Patrick Mahomes and those guys this year, Belichick still wins with basic football. And I'm talking to Kyle Van Noy, their linebacker, about, man, where did this effort come from, this secondary? Were you just all out more aggressive going into this game?
Aggressive. What you watched. We were aggressive all night, baby.
They were.
And then I said, all right, well, how about this, Kyle? When Patrick Chung goes down, and I don't think they showed it during the TV timeout. I mean, the man broke his arm. It's just compound fracture. And they were going to get a cart for him. And they're putting an inflatable around this broken arm. And I think it might have been due to friendly fire. I'm not sure. And then Patrick Chung goes, no, I'm not taking a cart. I'll walk off. And he carried his arm in an inflatable to the locker room. And then he comes back out in the fourth quarter to cheer, you know, after they got it plastered up or whatever, and telling his, you know, teammates, you know, focus, win this damn game. I mean, that's the kind of effort they get from these guys. And I asked Kyle Van Noy, the linebacker, was there any drop-off in your secondary after you lost your veteran, Patrick Chung?
You know, that's a good question. I think there wasn't really a lull as much as people would think. He's a hard player to replace, but you got guys that are hungry on that sideline, itching to get their opportunity, and those guys were ready. Deron, he was ready. Bert was ready, and E-Rob was ready. They've both been champions themselves, so they knew what it was, and they got it done.
Which I agree. I thought there would be a drop-off. I thought that would be right where Goff would start to go, and they were never able to capitalize. And third, I think the defensive front of the Patriots put all kinds of pressure on Goff, and he just couldn't figure it out. I mean, you could see some of the inexperience starting to show.
There was a technique that they used against, was it the Colts or the Chargers, where they went with a zero coverage. And, you know, if Phillip Rivers or if Andrew Luck, if they're looking in the backfield and they see nobody, no safety, they go, oh, hey, man, this is going to be a great play. We'll just send somebody over the middle. What you don't see is that they're bringing six guys and some safety or somebody's going to be on top of the quarterback in a second. And they didn't use that. The Patriots didn't use that at all in the AFC Championship. They waited till the third or fourth quarter. They did it again last night. They waited to the third or fourth quarter. They used that, and they got pressure on Goff. And, you know, that's just how smart Belichick and, I guess, Brian Flores has, you know, been holding their cards on those kinds of plays to make a difference when it came to the pressures. But they basically were finding ways to bring six all night long to match up against the five-man line of the Rams, and that kept them confused and kept them out of rhythm from getting that running game going. And then the other story is just, again, how Belichick and how smart he is with personnel. I thought for sure 3 years ago at the Super Bowl this would be the last game for Matthew Slater. His dad, Jackie, was a longtime tackle for the Rams. You know, he's 33 years old and a guy that was just average as a wide receiver, but, you know, he's still the special teams captain. And there he is out there again last night in this game. And we talked about how much of a difference maybe special teams should have been. Somebody on special teams could have been the MVP in Super Bowl 53.
You know, you never know how these games play themselves out. Last year, there's one total punt in the game. I think there are 14 punts today. You know, these games are funny sometimes like that. And, you know, to think the game would be 3-3 late in the game, I don't think anybody would have predicted that. But we prepared ourselves in such a way to be ready to execute. Obviously, having to deal with Johnny Hecker and all his fakes and bones and all the calls that they make, I felt like we dictated the pace of play. We were able to make some big plays when we needed it. Ryan punted his tail off. Our communication was great. So all around, we played very well.
And then finally, Julian Edelman, a guy that I was reading Nancy Armour's piece in USA Today, who says he shouldn't even have been there. He shouldn't even have been allowed to play, which I think is a little nuts. But there's some people that were even mad that Edelman, you know, testing positive for PED, shouldn't even have been allowed to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, and you know something? We were talking about earlier in the week about, you know, how did you make it through all of this stuff? How do you go through making those incredible catches 2 years ago against the Falcons? Unbelievable catches to keep your team in the game and help with that fourth quarter comeback. Then you blow out your ACL. You're on the sidelines as your team is losing to the Philadelphia Eagles. Then, you know, you test positive for PEDs as you're trying to get back on the field. You're suspended for four games, and now you're the Super Bowl MVP. Why? Because, you know, Chris Hogan, that guy couldn't get open. And Brady kept on trying to throw to him, and I don't understand. Hogan's an interesting cat, man. He doesn't get much separation. I don't know how Julian Edelman does it, but he does it. You watch him with the binoculars, and he gets off the line, and he just seems to know where the spot in the zone is going to be and where Brady's going to put the ball, not unlike what Jordy had with Aaron, you know, for all those years back up in Green Bay. And so, you know, now here Edelman goes through all that adversity, a torn ACL. He said the guy who kept him in line is Belichick, because Belichick says, don't worry about the prognosis 6 months from now. Don't worry about, you know, your contract 2 years from now. What are you supposed to be doing for the doctors and the trainer today and tomorrow? Just worry about that. And that's what Edelman talked about last night and trying to come back.
It's injury is psychologically so hard for an athlete because you don't get to do what you love to do. And, you know, when your team's going out there and playing in the Super Bowl and you don't get to help or you were not a factor, I mean, it was definitely very tough. You know, you just had to worry about one play at a time and just keep knocking at the door. And yes, it is about being, you know, resilient and just keep on working. And that's what our group did. It wasn't pretty, but I'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss any day.
Mike, great experience as always. A lot of fun. We'll talk more about it during the week, but thanks for everything, pal, okay?
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Joe.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. That's Mike Clemens, NFL Sirius Radio, joining us for a couple of minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.